So without further ado, I'd like to introduce our first speaker for tonight, Nate from Orchid. Nate, our host. Let me set my timer. There we go. All right. I only got 10 to 15 minutes, so I'm not going to start at the beginning. Let's see. My sobriety date is July 7th, 2019. So coming up here next month, I'll have 21 months. Small child, I guess. My sponsor is Kevin. My home group is the Men's Stag on Thursday night over at Orchid Presbyterian Church. So I'll just start briefly before I got into the program. A couple of years before I came to these rooms, I was drinking real heavy. Pretty much blackout drinker every day. My drink of choice was a little 99 shooter bottle that just got me where I wanted to go, which was blackout. In January 2018, I got a DUI with my kids in the car. Went to court, and the DA decided to enhance child endangerment to a felony. So I had that to deal with. Arrested me in court, which was not fun. Got out, fought that thing for a while, tried to pretend I was taking this thing seriously, went into like a three-month early intervention program, just to show the courts. I was like, oh no, I'm serious about this, but really, I just wanted to show them something to get out of jail, essentially. That didn't work. They wanted to sentence me to 180 days in jail, so I did out home detention. So I was like, all right, cool, I'm out of jail. This isn't that bad, you know. And then about a year later, I got another DUI. Straight to jail, 3 months in jail. My blood alcohol, I think, on my first DUI was 0.32. My second one was like 0.27. Being a daily blackout drinker, you know, it is what it is. In jail sucks. I didn't see my kids visit me in jail. That was probably the worst thing. Didn't keep me sober, though. While in jail, went to AA meetings that they would bring into the jail. They had the 12 and a big book in jail, so I was like, oh, I'm going to read this. I'm here for this. I need to make some changes. Read the thing front to cover, or front to back. The day I got out of jail, I went back to my apartment where it was thrashed. You know, in jail, you're kind of isolated from the wreckage that your drinking causes. You're isolated from seeing, you don't have bills, you're fed. You know, it's really, you know, you don't see it. You know it's there, but you don't see it. Get out walking in my apartment, that's thrashed, all the food in the fridge is rotted, you know. While I was in jail, the courts came and said that they were either going to take custody of my kids or I had to give it up. So that was another thing that I had to deal with when I got out of jail. So while cleaning my apartment, I came across, you know, one of the little shooters that I had missed during my blackout. Held on to it for a while, even took a walk with it. You know, in my pocket going, I'm going to throw this away. No, you're not. I'm going to throw it away. No, I'm not. I didn't. And that set me on a 1.5 week drinking blackout bender where my family knew I was drinking. They tried contacting me. They contacted my probation officer. I think I had a police officer well checked because I think in one of my blackouts I heard some very aggressive pounding on the door, which I didn't answer because I knew I'd be going back to jail. My family even came out to my house during that 1.5 weeks, and I wouldn't open the door for them. They were yelling outside my window, "Nate, we just want to know you're okay. Nate, we love you. Open the door." And I wouldn't. I was comfortable. At that point, I was probably drinking to die. I was so comfortable in my misery that that's all I could think of. Didn't have a job. While I was in jail, they auctioned off my truck. Didn't have a car. Felt I had nothing. And the only thing that got me out of that was my dad driving down for me about 4 hours north of here and said, "I'm either breaking down the door or you're opening up that door for me." I tried to avoid that too. Send a text message. Oh, I'm okay. I'm fine. My phone's not working. He ended up coming down. I walked around Paso Robles for about 3 hours, hoping that if he did show up, he would just leave and go back home. As soon as I walked in the door, I heard a knock on the door, and the only thing that I can think of that made me open that door was God himself, because I opened it, and him and my sister were standing there. They saw me, saw my house, started crying. And at that point, that illusion where I kept my drinking separate from my life, which is what I thought, that illusion was gone. I had no lie to tell them. I had no manipulation I could do to convince them to leave me alone and let me keep killing myself slowly. So it was at that point I had nothing else. I knew I was dead. They said, obviously I got to take care of it. So I tried to get into rehab. First I went to drug and alcohol services, and then they told me you can't get into rehab because you have a warrant out for your arrest. So that was a nice surprise. I was like, what? So that probation officer couldn't get a hold of me, so he just put out a warrant out. I had to go back to jail for a couple days to take care of that. Got out, tried to get into cottage. But in the meantime, while I was trying to get into cottage, I started going to AA meetings here in Orchid. Didn't know what to expect, but that was the one break of insanity out of my head during the day. You know, the rest of the day, my head was going a million miles a minute. All I thought about was alcohol. I'd be either walking to a meeting or riding my bike to a meeting. There'd be alcohol bottles in the gutter, alcohol on billboards, alcohol on TV. I was just bombarded with alcohol. That was my 1 hour break. So I went to a meeting every day, sometimes 8 days a week. After a couple months, I started getting asked, hey, you got a sponsor yet? I'm like, no, I'm getting into college. I don't want to start anything I can't finish. Now, all of a sudden, you know. Well, up to that point, the only thing I was good at starting and finishing was a bottle of alcohol. So, you know, and college didn't happen. They said, you've been sober for too long. So, hey, man, I could have been doing it, you know. But that was turned into a blessing. Because I think if I went to college rehab, I probably would have walked out of that place with a certificate to show my family that, look, I'm cured. And then after that, I was like, nah, I guess I got to do this thing. And I didn't know how to ask for a sponsor, didn't know where to go from here. And then someone walked up to me at the end of the meeting and said, you got a sponsor? I said, nope, don't even know how to ask for one. I'm up here, I'm afraid of rejection. I don't know if you got too many sponsors. I don't know how this works. He said, well, I'll be a sponsor. And that's when it started. You know, started working the steps. Because reading that book in jail from front to back, I was able to associate and identify with everything in that book. Read the stories, but all that knowledge didn't do me a bit of good. Just knowing that didn't help me at all. I hadn't done any of the work. I hadn't put any effort. I hadn't taken any of the action. Didn't have anybody to show me how to do any of that stuff. Started working the steps, you know, the first couple steps were pretty easy, you know, yeah, my life's pretty unmanageable, you know, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't. You know, the God thing didn't bother me too much, my higher power was the group, you know, there's got to be some great power working in this group to keep a bunch of drunks going out and getting hammered. You know, and then the fourth step came, and that was where I started noticing some changes, where you started looking at writing down all your resentments, your fears, all that stuff. At first it was like some sick, twisted game show. It was like, oh wait, there's more. Here's another column. Here's another bit. You know? You know, I started hiding that at my house underneath my mattress like it was a dirty magazine. I didn't want anybody to see that. But it's amazing the changes that you see when you look back when you start this program. You know, I was an instant gratification person. I wanted, when I prayed to God, I wanted it now. I wanted, hey, please get me out of jail. It didn't work. You know, so having to put this work in and wait for the results was very frustrating. You know, it was something I had to have faith in, which faith wasn't something I had in great supply when I started this program. It came over time from, you know, just praying and adopting what I heard from all the people in these rooms. Then I got to the parts about making amends with people that I didn't ever think I'd end those relationships with ever, you know. And that was crazy, you know, when you clean your own side of the street, it's a huge weight off your shoulders. You know, you look at this stuff before you get to it, and you're like, man, I don't know how that's going to make it feel better. I don't know what changes this is going to make. Until you do it, and you feel the results, and you feel, you know, my mom was one of the big people I had to make an amendment to. And when I first got into the program, I'd come home, and I'd be like, oh, that's a good meeting. And she'd be like, well, I haven't worked for you in the past. It's out of schooling, right? You know, I still need to continue to talk to the therapist, but, all right? So when I made my amends to her, that's what I was expecting. I wasn't expecting much, but I was going to do my part. I was going to make my amends. And she ended up crying. She said, I can see you're doing this for real. I can see the changes it's made in your life, and I'm so proud of you. I mean, that's amazing. Gives me goosebumps right now talking about it. You know, it's amazing. You know, still have a lot of people to make amends to. And I'm at the point where I can sponsor other guys now, which is awesome, man. I get to share this gift that was given to me freely. You know, my life is what it is today, not because of the absence of alcohol, but because of the presence of this program and the presence of the God in my life. You know, and I can't thank you guys enough for the people in these rooms that have showed me how to do it. So I'm going to keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share. Nate, good round, another round. Good job, Nate.